I am Archana. I'm from the Public Health Management Corporation in Philadelphia. I have no financial relationships to disclose. Okay, so my talk today is about the, say what the title is, trauma, substance abuse, and HIV risk among out-of-treatment substance-using minority women. And the relationships between trauma, substance abuse, and HIV among women has been well documented. But just to present some highlights from the literature, studies have found that compared to men, women's substance use is compounded by co-occurring mental health disorders, childhood abuse, and exposure to trauma associated with their use of drugs. Different studies have found that 48 to 90% of women with co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders have been exposed to trauma. Women with histories of child abuse are more likely to become involved in abusive relationships later in life and have more severe addictions than those without such histories. Substance abuse, childhood sexual abuse, and intimate partner violence have been found to be predictors of increased HIV risk behaviors. And PTSD among women with HIV and AIDS in the U.S. is 5 times the national rate, and the prevalence of intimate partner violence among women with HIV and AIDS is double the national rate. And women with histories of trauma often fare worse in treatment of HIV and AIDS compared to women who have not suffered traumatic stress. So despite the well-established links between trauma, substance abuse, and HIV, there are very few interventions that actually integrate trauma into services for women. The few interventions that have done so have shown promising results, including improved PTSD symptom management and coping skills, better substance abuse treatment retention, improved substance use outcomes, reduction in unprotected sex, and increased relationship power. When you look at the literature on trauma, substance abuse, and HIV among women, nearly all of the studies focus on childhood physical or sexual abuse, intimate partner violence, or PTSD resulting from exposure to trauma. In the analysis I'm presenting today, I wanted to expand our understanding of trauma to include a more comprehensive list of traumatic events and life stressors that are often prevalent in women's lives and may negatively impact their health and their behaviors. Particularly, I was interested in looking at additional forms of interpersonal abuse, including emotional abuse, neglect, and witnessing family violence as a child. What I'm going to call other traumatic events, which are one-time or repeated events or traumas that don't fall under interpersonal abuse, including experiencing a household fire, being in a serious accident, and being robbed or attacked by a stranger. And a third category I'm calling life stressors, which are, include adverse events or circumstances such as death of a loved one, having been in foster care, or having a family member in jail or incarcerated. And throughout this presentation, I'm going to be talking about these three categories, interpersonal abuse, other traumatic events, and other life stressors. I'm going to go into more detail about what comprises each category in later slides. So the objectives of my presentation today are very exploratory in nature, looking at intake data collected from 405 out-of-treatment substance-using women. I want to examine the prevalence of substance use, sexual risk behaviors, and traumatic and life stressors in these women's lives, describe the associations between these three areas, and identify strategies for integrating trauma-informed services into substance abuse treatment and HIV prevention programs. Data for this analysis come from intake data collected from women enrolled in New Pathways for Women, which is a trauma-informed, gender-specific pretreatment program in North Philadelphia designed to increase women's readiness for substance abuse treatment and to engage women in the recovery process. New Pathways for Women is not a drug treatment program. Rather, it's a non-clinical setting in which women voluntarily enroll in, to receive services. Women who enroll in New Pathways for Women participate in case management sessions, and during these meetings with case managers, they partner with the case managers to address barriers to reducing harm from their continued drug use, use of drugs and alcohol, and to support their recovery. This may or may not include enrollment or referral into a drug treatment program. There are two kinds of weekly groups offered. One follows a 12-step approach, and another uses a psychoeducational approach, focusing on topics that are important to women, such as parenting or intimate partner violence. Women can attend groups for as long as they wish, with the idea that the groups will support the recovery and promote the formation of a recovery community of women supportive of one another's healing. In this way, the project also functions as a safety net for women who have completed treatment and who wish to remain drug-free, but they need an additional support from each other. I just wanted to show some images from New Pathways for Women. They were able to work with the landlord to build out the space. It was an abandoned lampshade factory. So they built in meeting spaces, private offices, a reception, and a kitchen. They practiced intentional hospitality. They decorated the space and got furniture donated, resulting in a really beautiful and welcoming safe haven for women to come. They come for services, but they also just come for coffee and to sit and talk to the other women in the program. And actually, they have painted since this picture was taken. They've repainted. To enroll in New Pathways for Women, women have to be 18 years of age or older, report illegal drug use other than marijuana in the past 30 days, and cannot have been in a drug treatment program in the past 30 days. Women who aren't eligible based on these criteria are still welcome at New Pathways for Women, and they are offered services such as HIV testing. They can participate in groups, and there are other clothing and housing and that kind of stuff. So the program evaluation consists of one-on-one interviewer-administered surveys at intake and at 3 and 6 months post-intake. Just to look at the characteristics of the women in the sample, looking at the 400 women, the average age was 45 years old. They're predominantly African American. Half of the women had less than a high school education, while 38% have a high school diploma or a GED. 70% received income from public assistance, 36% from disability, and 16% reported income from illegal sources such as sex work or selling drugs. One-third of women were homeless or unstably housed in the past 30 days, and nearly 3 out of 4 enrolled women had been in jail in their lifetime. The majority of women reported having children, 84%, and of these, 19% had lost parental rights to at least one child. The majority identified as straight or heterosexual, and 9% self-reported being HIV positive. So looking at women's risk behaviors at intake, since it was part of the eligibility criteria, all women used at least one illegal drug other than marijuana in the past 30 days. The majority of women served by New Pathways for Women used crack or cocaine. 86% reported crack or cocaine use, and that's primarily crack. 40% reported marijuana use, and 14% reported heroin use. 29 of the 405 women reported ever injecting drugs, and nearly all of these women had injected in the past 30 days. 31% used drugs every day in the past 30 days. Alcohol use, which was not an eligibility criteria, was high among the sample as well. 3 out of 4 women drank in the past 30 days, and of these, 1/4 reported 4 or fewer drinks to intoxication, and half reported binge drinking in the past 30 days. 1/4 of the women who drank had a drink every day in the past 30 days. So for this analysis, we computed composite scores for drug use severity and alcohol use severity. On the slide, I describe what variables were in the survey were used to calculate the scores, and it's important to note that even though both scales go from 0 to 1, where 1 is the highest level of severity, the magnitude of the score depends on the number of variables in each calculation. So we can't compare the absolute score drug use severity to alcohol use severity. They don't correlate at all. So just to give you an idea, we calculated the score not as a clinical diagnosis of addiction, but rather to provide an indicator to compare subgroups within the sample. Since we're not in a clinical setting, we don't assess for addiction. To give you an idea of what the drug use severity score kind of means, if a woman used crack every day in the past 30 days, she would have a drug use severity score of 0.1 based on how the score is calculated. This sample had a drug use severity score of 0.29, which indicates a pretty high level of use. Looking at sexual risk behaviors, half of the women enrolled in New Pathways for Women reported sexual activity with a male sex partner in the past 30 days. And of these, the average number of partners was 3.3. The range was 1 to 30. 4 women in the sample reported 50 to 150 partners in the past 30 days. I grouped them with the people with 30 partners because they're outliers. 71% of women who had male sex partners had unprotected sex in the past 30 days, and 1 out of 3 received money, drugs, or other things of value for from a man in exchange for sex with a man for in the past 30 days. So looking at their trauma history, to assess women's trauma history, we used an adapted version of the Life Stressor Checklist, revised. We used this measure because it had previously been used with success in a similar sample of women. It provides a comprehensive view of trauma and life stressors in women's lives, and it was found to be safe, reliable, and appropriate to the experiences of women. Our adapted assessment includes 23 traumatic life and life stressors. And to analyze women's trauma history, we looked at this assessment in a few ways. So first, we looked at the number of traumatic and life stressors women reported experiencing in their lifetime. The average number reported by the sample was 7.3 events. Only 3% of the women said that they had not experienced any of the traumas. 28% had experienced 1 to 4 traumas, and 5% reported the highest number, 15 to 20 traumas. The next thing we looked at was the prevalence of each of the types of trauma that we asked about. So this slide shows the 11 items that comprise the category interpersonal abuse. The most commonly reported traumas were emotional abuse and witnessing family violence as a child. That's half the sample. 4 out of 10 women reported ever being physically neglected, the same percentage ever being stalked or threatened, and being physically abused after the age of 15. More than 1/3 had experienced childhood physical abuse, and nearly 1/3 reported being forced to touch someone sexually when they were younger than 16 years old. Nearly 1/4 of women reported being forced to have sex before and after the age of 16, and the least commonly reported abuse was a caregiver forcing someone to have sex with a man. The next category into which we collapsed 6 of the 23 traumatic events and stressors is what we're calling other traumatic events. The most common trauma in this category was ever having a serious mental illness, which was reported by 55% of women. As this is a non-clinical setting, this measure was self-reported and may not have been a clinical diagnosis. The most commonly reported mental illness was bipolar disorder, followed by depression and anxiety. 40% of women had been robbed, mugged, or attacked by a stranger. 29% had been institutionalized without their consent or 302'd. And 29% were ever in a serious accident. 1/4 of women had experienced a household fire, and 18% had ever had a serious illness. Finally, the third category of trauma is what we're calling life stressors. More than half of women had family that had been in jail. 43% of women had ever attempted suicide. More than 1/3 of women had someone close to them who died, and same percentage had someone close to them die suddenly. 16% had ever been in foster care, and 15% had lost a child. That's not including miscarriage. Next, we collapse the 23 variables into those three categories. So interpersonal abuse, other traumatic events, and life stressors. So the pink bars show that about 80% of women had experienced interpersonal abuse in their lifetime, and 80% other traumatic events in their lifetime. 9 out of 10 women reported experiencing life stressors in their life. The orange bars show the past 6 months. 1 out of 5 had experienced interpersonal abuse and life stressors, and nearly 1/3 had experienced other traumatic events in the past 6 months. To test for significant relationships between women's trauma histories and their substance abuse and HIV risk, we ran correlations, ANOVAs, and chi-square tests. And first, let's look at the mean number of lifetime traumatic events. A higher mean number of events was positively correlated with self-reported HIV status, unprotected sex, exchanging sex with a man in the past 30 days, and greater drug use and greater alcohol use severities. Looking at our summary variable of interpersonal abuse, we found that ever interpersonal abuse was associated with greater drug use and greater alcohol use severities, but interpersonal abuse in the past 6 months was associated with unprotected sex, exchanging sex with a man in the past 30 days, higher number of male sex partners in the past 30 days, and drug and alcohol use severities. Women who experienced other traumatic events in their lifetime and in the past 6 months had significantly higher scores on drug use severity and alcohol use severity scales, but it wasn't significantly associated with sexual risk behaviors. And finally, significantly higher proportions of women who experienced life stressors in their lifetime and in the past 6 months reported unprotected sex in the past 30 days compared to women who didn't report life stressors in their lifetime. Life stressors were not associated with substance use severity in this analysis. So the findings from our exploratory analysis support previous research that shows links between trauma, substance use, and HIV risk. But we were interested in expanding our view of trauma to also include less commonly talked about traumatic events and life stressors and their impact on women's substance abuse and HIV risk. And our findings show that at least at the bivariate level, less commonly explored forms of interpersonal abuse, other traumatic events, and life stressors are associated with these issues. I'm going to skip these next two slides because I've already kind of talked about that. So limitations and next steps. As this analysis was exploratory, it will be important to follow up with multivariate analyses to control for confounding factors, of course. In addition, we were not able to make any statements about causal relationships. We know that trauma increases risk behaviors, but also risk behaviors often put people in situations that increase their risk for trauma. So therefore, future analyses will need to look at temporal relationships. Finally, while we have been able to show some relationships between trauma, substance abuse, and HIV risk, we haven't been able to say that the effects of New Pathways for Women's trauma-informed program, what they are on women's risks. And right now, the analysis of looking at intake and outcome data is going on, so we'll have some of that information later on to see what the effects of our program are. So based on previous literature and our own research, trauma and life stressors are pervasive in many women's lives and warrant attention, particularly in substance abuse and HIV prevention programs. It's important to also view trauma over the lifespan. And based on the experience at New Pathways for Women, we have found that asking about traumatic life experiences is possible and safe in a non-clinical setting if conducted at women's choice and pace. It provides an opportunity for women to talk about what they've been through, and it's often the first time that women have even been asked about these things or been able to talk about them. It also assists women to make the links between their use of substances and their exposure to traumatic stresses, which supports their recovery management. Some concerns to consider include the training and comfort of staff and making sure and considering the need for self-care for the staff bringing up issues like this. In addition, while we have found the assessment to be appropriate for this sample, it may not be appropriate for everybody, so that needs to be considered when thinking about using something like this. A trauma-informed orientation must begin at engagement and recruitment and be infused through all interactions within the services. And a core tenet of the trauma-informed model of New Pathways for Women is the preeminence of safety and choice in all service delivery. And I just want to leave you with the New Pathways Project's mission to create safe, non-judgmental spaces to provide all who ask with opportunities and choices to begin or deepen their journey of recovery, wellness, and healing. And I just wanted to thank the women who have enrolled over the past 5 years for sharing all their information and also acknowledge the New Pathways for Women team, Eugenia and Sabrina are in here. And thank you. That's it.